Don't you love that song? It gives you such hope because He lives. We know that everything is in His hands because He lives. He holds tomorrow. He holds the future. Everything is in His hands. We're all in His hands. Amen? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll start reading with verse 12. I'll tell you, I've had a wonderful weekend. Thank the Lord for our dear deacons and the sacrifice they made to get away for a weekend and just pray. And we had a lot of prayer, seeking God, and how encouraging it was to be there. All right, let's all stand together in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired word. This is probably some of the most profound, investigative type scripture that I know. As Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, the church was asking questions and they were questioning. There was a lot of suppositions here. So let's read this. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, your faith is also vain. Yea, and we have found to be false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. And if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now, I like those divine conjunctions. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Father, we thank You for the reading of Your Word. We thank You that the Holy Spirit is always in attendance to the reading of the Word of God. And Father, I pray Your Holy Spirit would be working in each of our hearts today. Your Word tells us that only the truth, the Holy Spirit can teach us truth. And we pray Your Holy Spirit would teach us these truths today as we learn more about because He lives. I pray for Your fresh oil of anointing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Think about the song they just sung for a moment. Because He lives. Three things I want to give you today. Because He lives, we have the real gospel. Because He lives, we have the real grace. Because He lives, we have the true living God. All which is based upon this one truth. Are y'all listening? Because He lives. But what would it mean if in fact He is still in the grave? Now think about it. What if we're all wrong? What if, as Paul was saying, had He not risen from the dead, that we are all false witnesses? Because we've testified of God that He raised up Christ. But what ifs? Right here is all of our hope. Right here is all that we live for. Right here is the centrality of our faith. It is a matter of life or death. It's a matter of heaven or hell. It's a matter of our eternal destiny. This gives Paul's teaching on how denial of the real, the bodily resurrection of Jesus unravels the foundation of the truth and the hopes of the Christian faith. If Christ be not risen. What a thought. Curse that thought. If Christ be not risen. Do y'all ever think in your mind? You ever go places in your mind? Anybody? Y'all ever go places? Sometimes when I'm preaching, I'm wondering if y'all are going places. I don't know. But I go places in my mind sometimes. So in my mind, I begin to think about this thing. What if Christ be not risen? And I got to thinking about different ones in the scriptures, and somehow my first thoughts hit the two guys on the road to Emmaus. They had seen the crucifixion. They knew he was dead, and they were saddened. But you know, Jesus came and talked with them along the way, the Bible says. And so when I ran into these two, they were cutting up. They were cutting up because they said, "Oh, we've talked to him. We've heard from him. We've been with Jesus." And these two were excited. All of a sudden, there was excitement about these two walking on the road to Emmaus. But then I thought in my mind about Peter, and I thought, what if I was to run into Peter? Peter would say, yeah, I denied him. I denied him not once, not twice, but three times. But I have seen the Christ. I know because I've witnessed him. I know personally. I know Jesus Christ. In my mind, I got to thinking about old Thomas. You know, he had his doubts. And Thomas, he said, Ronnie, I had my doubts, but I've touched him, and I'll never be the same. I've touched the nail-scarred hands. I touched where the sword pierced his side. But you know what? Here's the joy. He touched me, and he made me whole. So regardless of whatever we're going through, I want us to talk about today the real gospel. There are a lot of other gods out there. There's a lot of other teachings out there. My question is this: what makes this the real gospel? What makes this that we believe to be true? Well, number one, the Bible calls the gospel, the meaning of the word gospel, is good news. He says in verse 1, Paul, this is the whole chapter here, why he's preaching, why he's dealing with this, is found in verse 1. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach to you." Now think about the gospel. What are the four gospels? Y'all want to name them for me? Matthew. You got them. You got them. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Every one of them tell the story. They tell the account of who? Jesus. That's the gospel. And so Matthew presents Jesus as king. That's very, very important. He's the king of kings. He's the Lord of lords. The whole gospel presents Jesus Christ as the king. And then Mark presents Jesus as the lowly servant. Jesus said, "I've not come to be ministered to, but to minister." He was always thinking of others. Aren't you glad Jesus thought of others? We're living in such a selfish time today. I'm so thankful that we can preach the book of Mark, presenting Jesus Christ as the lowly servant. And then you think about Luke, that physician, that doctor. And you would think as a scientist, he would examine and he would think about who Jesus really is. And he presents Jesus as the Son of Man because, you see, God became a man. And you know, this is the gospel. Can I give it to you in a nutshell? That he was born in Bethlehem, he died at Calvary, and he rose again. That's the gospel. That's the whole message of the gospel. It's about Jesus. He was born, he lived a sinless life, he died on the cross of Calvary. Are y'all listening? And he rose again. That's the good news. And we need some good news today. Amen. And then John, that one that the Bible says there was just some kind of special relationship. And, you know, remember John, he said, "He is the Christ, the Son of God." Wow. All those different guys, but they tell pretty much the same story, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They are all parallel gospels. They're pretty much the same. But John gives a little bit take that's special, that's unique. I would recommend any new Christian to study the book of John because John presents Jesus as the Son of Man. We have the good news. We've got something worth talking about. You hear all the bad news out there. I mean, there's a lot of bad news. And why is it that in our flesh, we enjoy the bad news? I mean, if you want bad news, just turn your television on. I mean, there's enough bad news to go around for everybody, amen? I mean, you hear about this killing. I think, actually, last night somebody got shot in Fayetteville, I heard. This, that. I mean, everything is happening. And you look at this. You ever notice it's the same old bad news? It just repeats. Sherry hates for me to turn on the news. She said, I want to listen to that. It's the same thing over and over and over and over. It's like a broken record. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The good news is it's never a broken record with Jesus. He gets better and better and sweeter and sweeter. As the fellow who couldn't speak too plain said, I believe he's turned to tugger. That's the good news. That's who Jesus is. And then there's genuine news. Well, what makes it so genuine? He says in the last part of verse 1, look at that again. And then verse 2, he says, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also we are saved, if we keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless we have believed in vain. You know what makes the good news so genuine? It's because we believed. You got to believe it for yourself. You want it to be real to you. You want God to be real to you. You can't just hear the good news. You got to believe the good news. It's got to be real. It's got to be authentic. It's got to be in you. And let me tell you, that's what Jesus came to do. He came to get into you. You ought to know that he's real. Amen. You ought to know whether it's genuine. And then, third of all, it's God's news. He says in the last part of verse 3, in the last part of verse 4, do you see that little phrase, according to the Scriptures? Is that in your Bible? The last part of verse 3, according to the Scriptures. And verse 4, according to the Scriptures. We have the real gospel because this is God's news. All of it is by God. According to Scripture means according as God saw fit that it would be recorded. Look up here, folks. This book right here is holy. It should be treated holy. By the way, I've always done this. I've never argued the Bible to anybody. Here's what I believe. You either believe it or you don't believe it. There's no argument about it. It's just God's news. This is holy news. So this is what your pastor believes. I believe in the infallibility of Scripture. I believe this is the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God. I believe there's no error. I believe it from Genesis to maps. I believe everything in it. You say, well, how can you know that it's true? Because it's God's. It's God's Word. And look up here, folks. Let me tell you something about God that's so different than us. God cannot lie. He cannot. For if he was to tell one little white lie, he'd be a sinner. But he's not a sinner. He is the perfect, holy, righteous God. And he's given us the real gospel. This is real. I mean, why should this book stand out over the Book of Mormon? Why should this book be standing out more than the Quran and all these other beliefs? Well, I'm glad you asked that, because I'm fixing to get into this thing that Paul got into something. He opened up a Pandora box, or the people did. And so he's dealing with this. What ifs? Think about all the presuppositions that he's dealing with here. Those things that are uncertain, meaning an uncertain belief, a speculation. Notice what he says in verse 10 of chapter 15. But by the grace of God, Paul said, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. He's giving his testimony here. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Here we see seven suppositions. We see seven times the word if in this scripture, starting in verse 12 where we read. So I want to deal with those ifs. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? If he did not raise from the dead, we're talking about real grace now. Real grace. There is foolish fundamentalism. You've heard a lot about fundamental beliefs. Well, these are fundamental beliefs. These are beliefs that represent us, our doctrine, who we are. And unless the preacher can thunder forth in positive tones the vibrant message, because he lives, the life is gone from that message. The spark which ignites the fire of revival is dead, and the eternal hope of the centuries lie desolate. If Christ be not risen, then preaching becomes the most foolish, unfruitful, useless, nonsensical, absurd, simple embellishment. It's just a foolish thing to do. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 15:4. This is the gospel, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scripture. Without that, there is no gospel to preach. It's foolish. He says, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. 1 Corinthians 1:23, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1:27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to conform the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to conform the things that are mighty. 1 Corinthians 1:29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. How foolish would it be not to believe in the risen Christ? And so that being true, let's talk about the foolish faith. Look at verse 14, and your faith is in vain. Faith is no better than the person you put it in. Faith is no better than the subject. Why put your faith in a dead God? Why put your faith in one who is still in the grave? He can't do nothing for you. He's dead. He's just dead. I mean, as much as he went through on the cross, when he shed his precious blood and he suffered and he bled and he died, if he's still dead, your faith is dead. There's nothing to put faith into. What a foolish faith we have. Our faith in Jesus Christ is worthless if he is still in the grave. Faith, the very breath of the Christian life, would be fruitless indeed if Christ be not risen from the dead. The sea of life would be rough indeed without faith in him who is the rock of our salvation. But he is shown to be, in Romans 1:4, listen to this, the Son of God with power by the resurrection of the dead. But if he's still in the grave, faith is foolish. But thank God, we can sit here today, listen, and say, we believe. I've got faith. I know faith works. Faith of a mustard seed can move mountains. I've got faith in a mountain-moving God. I've got faith, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. Psalm 14:1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. So we're not foolish because we put our faith in the real true God who provides this real grace for us. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Got to move quickly. Foolish followers, he says in verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. Paul is not saying we're mistaken. It's one thing to be mistaken. It's another thing to be a false witness. Paul is saying if Jesus Christ is still in the grave, then we're all telling a lie. We're the disciple liars. If so, why would they lie? The disciples openly proclaimed. I mean, they went out and said, listen, we have seen him. We have touched him. And they died. Listen how they died. They died as martyrs, as those who were tortured, those who were persecuted. They were burned at the stake, torn apart by lions. Hypocrites and martyrs are not made of the same stuff. People tell lies to get out of trouble, not into trouble. Few who die for what they know is a lie. Was Peter a con man? John the apostle a crook? Was Paul a known deceiver? If Christ is still in the grave, the disciples would be deceivers, and all followers have been fooled. It would be foolish to follow him. I love that old song. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back. No turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry. Are you listening to me? Till I see Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. I said no turning back. It's a dangerous thing to go back where God's brought you from. I'm having a hard time today. I can't imagine what poor Miss Faye has gone through. But a year ago tomorrow. So on this weekend, I was doing what Michelle told me to do. She said, I still want you to do those Easter eggs. I said, okay. Bernie insisted that we still do it. And so we were carrying out the Easter eggs. And my job was to hide them. But Michelle had this one golden egg. And she said, you hide that really well. She'd given all these instructions. So I looked and I found a tree that had a hollow place in it. And I stuck that golden egg down in that tree. I thought, nobody will find it. Nobody. And so we were all having a ball. There's a lot of people there, and they were picking, eggs everywhere. And they were picking up these eggs for Easter. And the littlest girl, I can't remember her name, Dennis and Dawn Chambers' little girl, Ava, she came up to me, and she said this. I'll never forget this. Ava, are you here? Little smart girl. She said, Pastor, you know where that golden egg is. I said, yeah. She said, I'm going to follow you wherever you go because you know where the egg is. And I'm going to go wherever you go. And I'm going to look wherever you look because I'm going to find that golden egg. I thought that was pretty smart. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I've decided to follow the one who got up from the grave. He's the one who knows where the golden egg is. In fact, let me tell you about that egg. It's empty. The tomb is empty. It's an empty celebration. It's an empty tomb. That's how I know he lives. And so I'm just going to keep my eyes on the one who knows where the golden egg is. Keep your eyes on the one who got up from the grave. He's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can change you. He's the only hope any of us have. I'm here to tell you today, if you want to call me a fool, and someone did one time when I was in high school. Can you believe that? And it was a school teacher. Yeah, a school teacher. Told the other kids, said, don't y'all. I did morning devotions in high school every morning. And we had about 35, 40 kids. Every morning in the auditorium, we did a devotion before the first bell rung. And this teacher went around and said, Ronnie Stewart is foolish. Sounded like I've been criticized my whole life. Well, back then, I didn't know you don't have to defend yourself. So I thought I'd defend myself. And I went into her classroom and I said, teacher, so-and-so, I may be foolish, but I'm going to be foolish going up, not foolish going down. Amen. You know, I've decided I'd rather follow Jesus than to have the whole world. What shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? You got to decide who you're going to follow. Well, guess what? I'm going to be like that little girl. I'm going to follow the one who knows. Well, Jesus is the one who knows. Foolish forgiveness. Look at verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sin. Now, folks, this is getting serious because there's not a person here that don't need forgiveness. I need it. You need it. We have no hope of forgiveness apart from the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. If he is in the grave, then God did not accept the sacrifice of Calvary. How do we know that Jesus Christ is not a religious fanatic with a martyr's complex who happened to get crucified? How do we know God accepted the sacrifice of Calvary? The resurrection. No resurrection, no Savior. No Savior, no forgiveness. His death without his resurrection cannot save anybody. 1 Peter 3:18, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed. I've been changed. I've been changed. I've been healed. I've been freed. I've been delivered. I'm forgiven. No more chains. No more past. I've been changed. Folks, let me tell you something. You don't have to live in that bondage. Paul said in Galatians 5:1, be not entangled again in that yoke of bondage. You've been set free. So why don't you forgive yourself? If God, who is a holy, righteous, perfect God, can forgive us, why don't we let go of the past? Our past just keeps coming up saying, I'm your past. Well, guess what? It's all covered in the blood of Jesus. Amen. He's washed you whiter than snow. Why do you want to hang on to that will destroy you? You are forgiven. You know what it is? This is what people tell me all the time. This is just too good to be true. Oh, it's so good, it is true. It's the good news. It's the gospel. It's the gospel of the real grace of God. For by grace we're saved. We are forgiven. And then I got to say this, because he says in verse 18, the foolish fallen. Think about that. Then they also which are fallen asleep, talking about the dead, in Christ they perish. Do you have a loved one who passed on? If Jesus Christ is not risen, then they perish. It's over. Life is nothing but a cruel joke. All we can look forward to is the downward spiral to the grave. No, something as glorious as human life has more meaning than that. The falling asleep actually means, for the Christian, you just went to sleep and you woke up in a better place. I mean, there is, hey, you know what? The fact is, because he lives, we get to live for eternity. These who are foolish, fallen, if you don't believe that, they were enjoying their life, and all of a sudden, and by the way, we never know when death's going to come, but the greatest truth, are y'all listening this morning? The greatest truth I know is that you can have the full assurance that because he lives, you get to live also. I mean, you don't have to be foolish, and you don't have to be one who's going to go into a grave. A lot of people do, and they say, well, that's it. That's it. Boy, life, there's certainly not much to life if that's it. I mean, if there's no life after the grave, then God help us all, because we're only here, as Paul said, for a very short time. This life is not about this life. This life is really about an eternal life. This is just a preparation time where you get ready for the real life. This life is just temporary. It's just for the present time that we're in it. But what matters is what decision you make now that will determine where you will be for all eternity. And death don't have to sting, as Paul says. Like I said last week about the bumblebee, remember the story? You know, the little sister was crying, said, oh, that bumblebee's going to sting me. And mama said, no, the bumblebee's already stung your brother. The stinger's in him. He can't sting you no more. Death has no more sting, Paul says, right here in this same chapter. But I got to wrap this up. We have a foolish future. He says in verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. Time to take my coat off. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what this world hands you. And there's some people that just choose to be miserable. I choose to be happy. I choose to be glad. I choose. You make that choice. Without the resurrection, we're just poor, deluded fools. Of all people, most miserable. A wise man once said, if Jesus Christ is still in the grave, nothing else really matters. But if Jesus Christ came out of the grave, nothing but that really matters. A hope that is steadfast, a certainty that Jesus Christ took the sting out of sin and death, the dread out of the death, the gloom out of the grave, and gave us a hope that is steadfast and sure. Preaching is profitable. Faith is feasible. The disciples are dependable. Sin has been subdued. Death has been defeated. And the future is fabulous. For we know where we're headed, and we have the faith to know that I'm looking for a city not made by hands. I'm looking for a city that God said, and Jesus said it best in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Folks, I am 100% convinced that we're in that day now, that Jesus is about to come. I am 100% believing, and this is not foolish preaching. This is the gospel, and the gospel says he's coming again. He came the first time, and he's going to do it again. He came the first time as a lowly baby. He's coming next time on a white horse as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We got a future worth living for. But if Christ be not risen, he says we're all men miserable. Well, then I know he lives, because about every day I have a spell. He tickles my insides. I know that he lives. I'm glad. Thank you. I'm glad. Amen. I've got joy. I've got joy, unspeakable, full of glory. Even in hard times, I can rejoice in the God of my salvation. I've got peace. I've got love. I've got faith. I've got truth. You know why? My God's not dead. My God is not dead. He surely alive. He's living on the inside. Doing what, church? Roaring like a lion. It's about time God's people rise up and begin to praise this God. Pilate tried to accuse him. Satan tried to seduce him. Death tried to destroy him. And the grave tried to hold him. But he stands forth upon the highest pinnacles of heavenly glory, proclaimed of God, acknowledged by angels, adored by saints, and feared by devils. He is the living Savior. He is alive today. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. And he has not forsaken us. He is very much on his throne. He's still in control. He's still God. He's still Lord of all. Yes. Believe I'll have a spell. Bless God, I believe I will. We've got a future. Some people don't have much looking forward to. I got everything worth looking forward to. The real God, I got to get to it. I'm about to die to get there. Because it's one thing to have the real gospel because he lives. It's one thing to have the real grace because he lives, but this is my favorite part. We have the real God. So I'm going to ask some questions now. Will the real God stand up? Will the real God stand up? With the real God stand up? He did on the third day. The real God stood up. Confucius died. And he's dead. He never stood up. Buddha, he died. And he's dead. And he never stood up. Muhammad, he died. And he never stood up. Joseph Smith founded Mormonism. He's dead. And he never stood up. Sherry and I had the joy of years ago. I got a little ill. We went to the Vatican. I wanted an audience with the Pope. He wouldn't give it to me. I mean, you can't even get a preacher to speak to you. But anyway, I thought, well, let me see the dead popes. And they got them all enshrined, and they're there, and dead pope so-and-so, 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 dead pope. They think so much of a lot of their dead, they put them in the floor of the church, you know. They bury them in the floor of the church. And guess what? I got to tell you something. I've been there. I've been to Rome. They're still there. They dead. I said, they're dead. I mean, they're dead. It's 4 o'clock. They are dead. And they're still dead. And their grave is still there. I went over to Westminster Abbey. I went to school over at South Wales Baptist Seminary, and I was impressed with how many dead people they have in Westminster Abbey. And I stood on Sir Isaac Newton's grave. It was such a privilege to stand there. I just wanted to say I stood there. But guess what? He's dead. I mean, all these graves, they're all dead. But there's only one true, real, living God. His name is Jesus Christ. The only real God. His name is Jesus Christ. The only true God is the one who got up from the grave. You say, well, why are people so mixed up? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to answer that in just a minute. Why is he the one and only true living God? Number one, he defeated death. We've already talked about it, so I'm not going to stay there long, but he defeated death. But now, he says in verse 20, I love those conjunctions. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and listen to what he says, and become the first fruits of them who slept. Look down in verse 26, chapter 15. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. I'm telling you something, Jesus defeated. I tell you, when he got up from that grave, he was the first fruits. And now everyone who has died in Christ, they follow the first fruit. Because he lives, they live. Only because he lives. I've preached hundreds and hundreds of funerals in my lifetime. I've preached little tiny babies. I've probably done over a dozen little babies. I've done a shocking number of teenagers. I'm amazed how many teenage. You know, I used to think when I was a young preacher that I would only be doing old people funerals. No, I did. In fact, the first funeral I did was a baby. At 18 years old, I did a little baby's funeral. I'll never forget the mother. She said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And I'll never forget what that mother stood there at that grave saying that. Seen a lot of babies die. Seen a lot of young people die. A lot of middle-aged people die. In other words, I think I've done just as many funerals for younger people than I have older people. Yeah, I've done a lot of older people, but you know, death can come at any time. But Jesus defeated death. Amen. He destroyed death. And they are no longer in the grave. You can go to the grave, but I'll tell you, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. And you say, well, how does that happen? Jesus! He got up as the first fruit, as the Old Testament taught, that you give your first to God. Well, guess what? That's what Jesus did. And he got up from the grave. And because he lives, we live also. Second of all, he destroyed the devil. He says, verse 21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Now, Adam, the first man, and Eve, his wife, was destroyed by the devil. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The devil deceived them in the garden. He said to Adam and Eve, if you take of that fruit, you'll be as God. You'll have the knowledge. Oh, that impressed Adam and Eve. They thought, wow, you know what? We'll be like God. They believed the devil's lie. Why is it that man is more prone to believe a devil's lie than the truth of God? Did God speak the truth to Adam and Eve? He said, do not take of this tree in the midst of the garden. That's all they had it made. They didn't have to work. They had no health issues. Look up here, church. God designed Adam and Eve to live forever. Yeah. No death. So Adam died. Eve died. The devil deceived them in the garden. But just as sure as the devil thought he had destroyed man because of sin, God sent another man. And this was the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And by this man came also, the Bible says, the resurrection. And because he lives, my sins are forgiven. I am a whole new man in Christ. Yes, Adam died, but Jesus is alive and he rules and he reigns over all things. 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I'm telling you something. You say, well, I still see the devil at work. Well, I'm going to tell you something real quick about this devil that you may not know. He's a dead rattlesnake, but the rattler is still making a lot of noise. You see, the rattler is always in our ear. And the devil will try to scare the life out of you. He'll try to say, you don't have nothing to look forward to. When you're dead, you're dead. Well, Jesus said just the opposite. The first man, yes, he died. But what did he say? He said, Adam, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. And then last, and this is very important that you hear this, delivered the deceived. I've been talking about Adam and Eve. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, I love the way this ends. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You see, the devil deceived Adam and Eve in the garden, and they died. Jesus came to deliver the deceived, for we have been made alive. In other words, our eyes are open to the truth now. No longer do we need to believe the devil's lies. Why do we waste our life listening to a liar? The Bible says the devil is a liar and the father of lies. You listen to all those lies all your life. You'll stay defeated. You'll stay discouraged. You'll give up. You'll quit and you won't serve God. But the devil is a liar and the father of all lies. Here's the truth. Jesus said it. I have made you alive. He said, just as I made you, I created you, and I recreated you in Christ Jesus. Amen? So what's the proof? What's the proof that he's alive? Well, number one, we have an empty tree. You think about that, that there are some beliefs. I used to go into Mercy Hospital in Charlotte a lot. And every room has a cross with Jesus hanging on it. I don't believe in a cross with Jesus hanging on it. Because he's not dead. He's alive. Amen. The cross is empty. You got a cross in your house with Jesus still hanging on it? Get rid of it. Because I'm telling you something. He is not on the cross anymore. He died on that cross. But then we have an empty tomb. Not only do we have an empty tree, we got an empty tomb. You know what? When the women came to that tomb, they thought, who stole our Lord's body? You know, John, Peter, they all said, well, what's going on here? And yet he told them the whole time, I'm going to resurrect. I'm going to be resurrected. And here's the premise of everything that we stand for. Don't be deceived, church. Don't listen to the lies of the world. Don't listen to the lies of your flesh. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. Listen to the truth, the one who delivered you. I'm done. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Y'all want to help me? I know that he is living, whatever y'all might say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. Let's all stand up. He lives, come on, he lives, salvation to impart. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives in my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Come on. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. Come on, church. He lives, he lives. Jesus lives today. How do I know he lives?
He
walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. Sing it. He lives within my heart. Let's give God the glory for that. Amen. We're going to give the invitation. As we continue to stand, the song is, without him. And without him, you have no hope. You have no forgiveness. There is no gospel. There is no grace. There is no God without him. But look up here. He's here. Oh, he's closer to you than you think. Because I'm going to tell you what he did. He got out of the grave so he could get into your heart. Yeah, he did. For salvation to impart. That's why he lives. So he could save a soul. And if you don't know Jesus today, look up here, folks. I don't know of a better time to get saved than right now. Because without him, death wins. Without him, there's no hope of a future. Without him, everything that we believe is based on this premise that because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. All fear is gone. Because he lives, I got a future. And because he lives, I'm not miserable. I'm glad. I said, I'm glad. I'm glad I serve a living Savior who's in the world today, and I know that he's still living. How do I know? Because he lives within my heart. Does he live in your heart?
Yes.
If you were to die today, do you know that you would go to heaven?
Yes.
Make sure today, this is the invitation. This is an invitation that has an open tomb. You know why? Because he lives. And he says, whosoever will may come. He died on that cross. He rose again so he can live in you. Father, speak to our hearts through this invitation. Change some life because Jesus lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.